Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Tech Guide Podcast. Great to have your company for the next half hour. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we're going to kick it off with some news about pay TV company Foxtel and their movie channels. We're going to look at some the movie streaming service from Spotify and also check out Apple's iWork iOS apps update. In our reviews, we're going to run our eye over the Nokia Lumia 920 Windows 8 device. We'll also check out some cool new Star Wars iPhone 5 cases. Loving those. Uniden's wireless surveillance system and the new Dyson balloon game app. And like we do each and every week, we'll wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. Lots to get through here on Tech Guide, so let's get cracking. Now, if you're a music lover, Spotify is probably a name you're very familiar with. For those who don't know what Spotify is, it is a very popular music streaming service. It's been out in here in Australia since middle of 2012, and it is one of the biggest music streaming services in the world. You've got other services like RDO, Mog, among several others, but Spotify seems to be growing really quickly, and after being founded in Sweden, has quickly spread to more than 17 countries around the world, including us here in little old Australia. Now, with Spotify, it is, as I mentioned, a streaming service. So what that means is that you can, there's several ways you can access your music. There is actually a free way you can access your music on your desktop or laptop computer. That's ad supported though. So you're going to see and hear ads on that service. You can pay $6.99 and have the ads removed from the desktop and the laptop environment. So you can just hear the music. And if you want to go all the way with a premium account, that's $11.99 per month. And that allows you to listen to your music on your desktop, your laptop, and all your mobile devices, so like your tablets, your smartphones, wherever you want, however you want, ad-free. So if you want to stream your new music, you can even download some music and cache it on your device. But as long as you're paying that $11.99 a month, the music will keep on coming. And there's plenty. There's more than 20 million tracks in the Spotify library with tens of thousands of new tracks added each and every day. So if you're a music lover, for less than the price of a CD, you can enjoy up to more than 20 million tracks. Any track that you can think of, any new album, any old favorite album, they're all there. Now, what brings Spotify into the news again this week is the fact that they've unveiled some new features for the service that makes it easier to discover new music. Now, as I mentioned, with more than 20 million songs in your portfolio and literally tens of thousands of songs added each day and each week, finding that new music can be a difficult task. But even on the other side, if you're a musician wanting listeners to discover your music, you'd also want that as well. So with that in mind, Spotify came up with a couple of new features that will allow this music discovery to happen a lot easier and a little more organically on the service. The first way that they've thought of is by introducing a follow feature. Now, for those of you who are on Twitter, where you can follow different people, you hear, you can see their tweets and what they have to say. Well, in a similar vein here with Spotify, it allows users to follow various celebrities, influencers, journalists, other people in the media, even politicians. Barack Obama has got his own Spotify account. And if you wanted to, you could follow Barack Obama and hear and find out the music he's been listening to. So if you need some inspiration, he may have created a list. There's an example that he had a campaign playlist. So the music that was driving him during his campaign is something that we can access and then listen to ourselves. So that's a key way for people to discover those new tracks. To like, often is the case, and I know this with me, I like getting recommendations off friends. I like being able to discover those new that new music. But speaking of discovery, that is another feature that Spotify is offering. And on the Spotify landing page, this new Discover feature is going to be filled with intelligent suggestions based on what you've been listening to, so your taste and listening habits. Now, what you're going to see is not just a range of CD covers, tiles across your screen with no explanation. It's going to be the opposite to that. There's going to be a lot of content that's in context. So not only are they going to tell you on this new feature, the Discover feature, why they're recommending, who they're recommending, but they're also going to say why they're recommending it, so that it gives you that context. It gives you a bit of a bio, some information about that particular artist and why you would like it. So if you're a fan of artist A, it's going to give you recommendations for artists that are similar to artist A and give you reasons why. And not just because they're in the same genre of music, the different styles of music and the various intelligent algorithms they've worked out to match you to music you may like is something that we're really looking forward to. They're not available, these features, till early in the new year. So we'll be keeping an eye out. But just as a background, Spotify was founded by Daniel Ek in Sweden. And as I mentioned, it's now spread into 17 countries across Australia. There is a free service, but you can go all the way up to the $11.99 a month premium service for ad-free service across not only your computer but also all your mobile devices. If you're a music fan, I think Spotify is something you really need to check out. I've written that story. There's some screenshots of the new landing page, and there's also a video explaining how Spotify is going to work. If you want to check that out, it's at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, all you Foxtel subscribers out there, I think one of the key features that we love about our Foxtel service, and I'm one of them, I'm platinum, I've got the platinum subscription, so I get all the movie channels, all the sports channels, and I get everything. But what Foxtel has done, though, they've an interesting move here. They've totally revamped their movie channel structure. Now, in the past, they had their Showtime list of channels and extra movie channels as well, the movie network channels as well. But what they've done is they've done away with the Showtime and Movie Network brands as such and combined them into an all-new list of channels called Foxtel Movies and Premium Drama. Now, anyone who's a subscriber already to these services will automatically get this new movie channel structure, which comes into play January 1, 2013. So New Year's Day, new movie channel structure on Foxtel. But here's how it's going to work. Now, there's still going to be a premiere channel. So obviously for your brand new release, first to Foxtel kind of setup, where they're airing on the premiere channel in both HD and SD. So that's high definition and standard definition. There's also going to be Showcase, which is the channel that is home to a lot of the HBO shows, like Game of Thrones, Entourage, Curb Your Enthusiasm, a lot of those HBO shows, which are going to actually be fast-tracked to Australian viewers. But on top of that, there are going to be channels to describe the type of movie you'll see on that particular channel. For example, action-adventure is one. Another is comedy. Then you've got drama-romance, family, thriller-crime, Masterpiece, and then, of course, there's World Movies as well. So just by looking at the name of the channel, you're going to know straight away what sort of movies are going to be on offer on those particular channels. But another interesting addition to the Foxtel service is the fact that they're going to also increase the on-demand service. So at the press of a button, viewers will be able to watch a wider selection of films when they're ready rather than having to watch it at a particular time, which I think is pretty exciting. Their new CEO, Richard Freudenstein, who made the announcement earlier this week, said that he wanted to create an experience for viewers that'll make it a lot easier to navigate and find the movies they feel like watching a lot easier. So, the on-demand service will also complement those other channels as well. So if you're a Foxtel customer, it's good to see that they are trying their best to improve the service. Of course, there'll be the same movies that are coming from all the various studios in the US, but just arranged in a more logical and more descriptive way. So you know exactly what channel you need to turn to if you do want to watch a particular genre of film. And it's going to be no additional charge if you are already a Showtime and the movie network subscriber, then you'll all automatically get this new service. So that comes into effect January 1st. So it'll be a happy new year for Foxtel movie lovers. Now, Apple has released a significant update to its iWork iOS app. So apps that you can use on your iPad and iPhone, which make up the iWork family, and they are Pages, Numbers, and Keynote. Now, the reason for this update is to make them even more compatible with their Microsoft Office opposite Numbers. So the update means that you can now work across these documents. So if you start a Microsoft Word document, for example, you can then open that up in Pages on your iPad or on your iPhone, make the particular changes. You can even now, one new feature it does support is being able to track the changes to a Word document, something that you couldn't do with Pages before. So if you happen to be working on a document with a colleague, they're on a PC, you're on your iPad or on your Mac, you can now collaborate a little more seamlessly on that particular document. Now, with this family of apps, Pages is the iOS equivalent of Word, Numbers is the iOS equivalent of Excel, the spreadsheet, and Keynote is the iOS equivalent of PowerPoint, the presentation software. And similarly, these iOS applications have been enhanced and updated to have a lot more compatibility across a number of things like column widths and formatting, text boxes, slide formatting, features like that, so that it would make working on your iPad on these particular documents a lot more compatible. So rather than you having to open up Office on your Mac or on a PC and work on that particular document, now if you have an iPad with these iWork apps, it now allows you to work with these documents and then keep them in the same format and share them between these various formats as well, so that rather than having to you can literally stay on the same page with the document so that it stays in the same format and just makes it easier for iPad users to stay in the loop, as it were. So a very interesting move from Apple. I think another reason that they've really put the foot down in this particular area is because of the heavy rumors that Microsoft are going to offer their own iOS versions of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So Apple, of course, want to keep their own apps, their iWork apps, up and running and compatible with Microsoft Office, which, let's face it, Office kind of the dominant document creation applications that we've got out there, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So having that compatibility was very important to keep Apple in the game, keep it in the same format with these documents. But with news and these rumors that Microsoft are going to release their own version of iPad apps in those actual versions, so of course a Word app on the iPad will be exactly compatible with Word on the computer. So it makes sense that Apple have jumped in ahead of time, because we're thinking in the first half of 2013, you're going to see this move from Microsoft. Rumors are very strong. And usually in that case, where there's smoke, there's fire. So we'll have to wait and see. But in the meantime, Apple have updated their iWorks apps so you can work on and stay compatible with the Microsoft Office documents as well. So just another reason to that adds another string to the iPad bow and keep you working across those documents better than you ever have before.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
In the first of our reviews of today's show, we're going to have a look at the Nokia Lumia 920. Now, this is the latest Windows phone from Nokia. Now, as we know, Nokia and Microsoft have created quite the partnership with their smartphones, and Nokia have offered a number of Windows Phone 7 earlier this year, late last year. We saw the first of those. But now we're seeing the first of the Windows Phone 8 devices. And in the case of the Nokia Lumia 920, it's also a 4G phone. And this is the company's new flagship device. And I've given it a thorough review on Tech Guide. Now, let's start off with the look and feel of the product. Now, it is made out of a single piece of polycarbonate, sort of very thick plastic type case, type chassis. It's got a 4.5-inch screen, and it's also a sealed case as well, a lot like the iPhone, where there's no battery flap on the back that you can open up and access the battery. There's no micro SD card slots. The only thing you'll find on it is the headphone jack. Even the SIM card needs a pin ejector similar to the iPhone to get the SIM card in and out. There's left and right. On the right-hand side is a volume up and down keys, an on, off, and lock key. And there's also a dedicated camera key on the other side as well. And the screen itself is very sharp. It's a 4.5-inch screen, really responsive touch screen. The camera, 8.7 megapixel Carl Zeiss optics on board. And I've got to say, one of the better cameras I've used this year on a smartphone. And what I like about this too is the fact that the lens is placed in the center of the back panel of the device. It makes sense to put it here because other devices, like, for example, the iPhone, the Galaxy S3, have the lenses in the top corner, right near the edge. And it's very easy to get your fingers. If you're holding the phone in two hands, it's very easy to get your pinky or a fingertip into the photo because the lens is so close to the edge. No such problem with the Lumia. They've very cleverly put the lens almost in the center of the back panel, so it's sort of out of the way of these dangling fingers that come over the edge. But one of the biggest features, of course, is Windows 8, Windows Phone 8 on the Lumia 920. And there's a few new features on board here, and what helps it along too is the faster processor. It's got a dual core 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor, so it gets things moving along quite nicely. The two major features on Windows Phone 8, three major features, well, first of all, is the ability to resize the tiles on the homepage. So if you, for example, you make a lot of phone calls, or you make a lot of text messages, or you need your access to your calendar, you can actually make those tiles on the home screen stretch across the full width of the screen. If there are other applications you want to pin to your home screen, not quite as important, but you want to fit more on that home screen, you can shrink them down to either half the width or a quarter of the width to fit more into that single space. That is a really good way to customize the phone, because how I use the smartphone will probably be different to how you use your smartphone, which is a feature I really applaud with the Windows Phone 8. It lets you customize that to suit your needs. Another new feature is called Rooms. Now, what this allows you to do is to set up a private chat space, communication space with one of your contacts. You can exchange information, documents, and message each other in a confidential way. Another new feature is called the Kid Zone. Now, how many of you often hand off your smartphone to your child while you're at the cafe to keep them occupied? A lot of people that do it. But what Windows have done with Windows Phone 8, what Microsoft has done is created this Kid Zone, where you can activate the Kid Zone and all your child can access are the apps and games that you've placed in this zone. There's no risk of them changing your settings, affecting your content, deleting documents. It's all hived off just for them, and it needs a password to get out of it. So just another little feature to add on to the Windows Phone 8 system there. But in terms of the built-in features too, the 920, the Lumia 920 has built-in GPS app with Nokia Drive, Nokia Music. It's also got local scout, so you can suss out nearby restaurants, shopping, and other things in your area. It's also got a very interesting augmented reality app called Nokia City Lens. So what it allows you to do is that if you're in a foreign city, you can actually hold up the phone, activate the City Lens, and it will then label the buildings and areas around you so that you know exactly where the restaurants are. You can even read star ratings right there on the screen. So rather than you having to go up to all those buildings and try to find it on a map, it's right there in front of you as you're looking through on the screen through the Nokia's, the Lumia 920's camera. Speaking of the camera, I did mention it is one of the best features of the camera. Takes excellent photographs. The Carl Zeiss optics work really well, produce really impressive images, including full HD video. A couple of things that we didn't like about it, the memory is very limited. You've only got a gigabyte of memory on board, which isn't a lot when you think about it. And there's no way to expand that memory. So the only way you can expand that is if you store your content up to 32 gigabytes up on SkyDrive. That's Microsoft Cloud Service there. The Lumia 920 is $829 outright, or you can buy it on a Telstra plan. I've written my full review at Tech Guide, and you can check that out. I've given it 4 stars out of 5, but if you want to read the whole thing, head to techguide.com.au. Now, we know security is a big issue for a lot of listeners, and Uniden have come up with a good system, a digital wireless surveillance system. The Uniden Guardian G2720 is a pack that comes with 2 weatherproof cameras and a 7-inch tablet monitor. Now, what makes this easy to put together is the fact that the cameras don't need a cable snaking all the way back to the central monitor. What they do need, though, is a cable to connect power, but obviously the power point will obviously have to be installed nearby, or you can then drop a power cable to a power point maybe inside your home. But the cameras themselves, the signal from the cameras to the monitor, it sets up its own little wireless network. Now, how they could be set up is really interesting. Now, for people who want to access the system from within the house, you've got your tablet monitor. You can have up to 4 cameras viewed at the same time on the screen. You can add cameras. It comes with 2. You can add 2 more to make 4. And what you can do, you can also set it up to send email alerts. So if you're not home, you can have an email alert. If there's a motion detected through one of the cameras, you can receive an email alert on your smartphone. And when that happens, you can then fire up the accompanying app for the Guardian. And what the app allows you to do is to view what the cameras are seeing right there on your smartphone, whether you're in the next suburb, whether you're in the next state or on the other side of the world. So if you want to check out what your pet's up to, what your kids are up to, you want to see who's at your front door, the Uniden Guardian system makes it really worthwhile. And the addition of having that app, where you can look at what your cameras see, what your cameras are seeing remotely, really makes it an interesting offering. It's $549, and for that you get the 2 outdoor cameras plus the tablet. But for a limited time, up until if you do buy the G2720 before March 31 next year, you get a bonus camera. So you can either get another outdoor camera or you can get an indoor camera. So that takes the number of cameras up to 3. Security, as I said, very important issue for people, whether you want to watch your home, your office, you want to watch your pets, your kids, or anything else of value. If you want to keep an eye on it, the Uniden Guardian G2720 is a great way to do it. It's very easy to install and then easy to use and easy to access, whether you're in the house on the monitor, the 7-inch monitor, or remotely using the app. Full review at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, anyone who knows me even a little knows that I'm a pretty tragic, pretty big Star Wars fan. Now, what I'm very excited to talk about right now are the new iPhone 5 cases that are Star Wars themed. They're not just any old iPhone cases or any old Star Wars cases. These are character cases that a lot of work have gone into. There are four in the range, and the four characters are Darth Vader, Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2. Darth Vader, obviously black, and looks exactly like you can see his chest armor, his chest box, his belt, and it's got this 3D detailing so that you run your hand along the back of it. You can actually there's parts of it have been raised and lowered, so it gives a nice feel, and it obviously fits the iPhone 5. Moving down to C-3PO and the golden droid has also got a golden case, and the patterning on the front of the droid in the film is represented on the case, including the wiring that runs across the black band across his stomach. R2-D2, the familiar black, white, and grey markings. What I liked about this case is the fact that the camera is positioned where his eye lens would be in the film. So that sort of kind of makes it like you've really got R2-D2 in your pocket. But Chewbacca's another cool case as well. And Chewie, being a Wookiee, is furry, and so is the case. So if you run your hand along the back of the case, you'll actually feel the fur. There's also the ammunition bandolier running diagonally across his chest. So that gives it a lovely texture, the furry texture that only Chewbacca can bring. So if you're a true fan of Star Wars and a fan of that galaxy far, far away, you can display your Star Wars geek pride with these new iPhone 5 Star Wars cases. They're brought in by Blue Mouth Interactive. They're available from EB Game Stores around Australia, $39.95 each. There's four in the range. If you've got an iPhone 5 and you want to feel the Force, these are the cases for you. Now, Dyson is a name we associate with air multipliers, vacuum cleaners, and design is at the heart of this company. And what they have designed, their latest effort, is a gaming app for the iPhone. Now, it's not any old gaming app. It's a balloon game. But what they've cleverly done is incorporated their own products into the game. Now, what the object of the game is you need to steer a balloon around the room using one of Dyson's air multipliers, in some cases up to three or four air multipliers, depending on the level you're playing, towards a target in the room. Now, you can position the multipliers, change their direction of flow, change their angle, as you would in the real world, position them, tilt them up and down to direct the airflow. And what it is, you need to direct the balloon towards a target. You've got to get around a few obstacles, and you've got to really sort of measure how strong or weak you need the air multiplier to be running so that that balloon finds its course, goes through the course towards the target. Cleverly, Dyson have included their own air multipliers. Now, the air multiplier, for those who don't know what it is, it looks like a tennis racket without any strings in it, basically. It's a large circular shaped blade at the top of the device. And what happens, it draws air in from the base and from the rear of that circle and then projects it, amplifies it, and then streams it smoothly towards the people in the room who want to be cooled down. Well, the beauty of not having a blade is obviously safety reasons. So if it's near a child, they can actually put their hand through the circular portion of the air multiplier and not be injured. And there's no grill, you don't need a grill to protect inquisitive little hands from these spinning blades. And without the spinning blades, it's not the choppy air, it's a much smoother flow. I found having a Dyson here on my desk is that the airflow is pretty constant, so it's not going to be blowing papers off your desk as a normal fan would, even if it's turned at a pretty low speed. So good on Dyson for really thinking outside the square there a little bit, including making their products the star of the game. It's a free game, but showcases the air multipliers in a way you wouldn't normally imagine. And they start at $379 for the smaller 25-centimetre air multipliers, all the way up to $599 for the taller pedestal fans. But the Dyson Balloon Game, you can download it for free for the iPhone, and you can check it out. It's quite a challenging game, I have to say. It is. I'm up to about, I think, level 12, and the higher the levels, the level is, the more difficult the challenge is in front of you. But it does pass the time. It does showcase the strengths and features of the air multipliers. So, yeah, Dyson, big tick from us.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our help desk this week is around digital photography. And we had an interesting question on the forums, and actually a woman on the radio actually posed this question. How do you print your pictures without a computer? Now, the answer is actually there's a few solutions here. The first one being you need a printer, obviously, to print your photographs. And the best solution would be to find a printer that has memory card slots. So depending on the type of memory card slot, most cameras have an SD card slot. If you find a decent photo printer that has a micro, that has a SD card slot or a range of memory card slots, you can simply pull the SD card out of the camera or compact flash card, micro SD, whatever it happens to be. You can simply pull it out of that camera, insert it in the memory slot on the printer. The printer would have a display, so then you can actually scroll through your images rather than you having to get it on the computer, send it to the printer. You can cut the computer out of the equation altogether. So what you do, again, take the memory card out of the camera, whether it's a digital SLR, whether it's a compact camera, whatever type of camera it happens to be, insert that into the printer. The printer should then be able to read the images off the memory card and allow the user to see the images in front of them, even edit them to a degree, although you can edit probably on the camera itself. But it does give you the option of editing, cropping, and doing things like that. Now, the printers from companies like Canon, Epson, HP, there's a number of them out there that allow you to do this with their printers. So it makes it a lot easier if you want to keep the computer out of the equation, particularly maybe for some older users who don't want to have to plug in their camera or their to transfer their images to the computer. It allows you to do that. The downside of doing that is that your picture's going to still be on that SD card. What I like about transferring my pictures to a computer before printing them is that I've got a storage. I store the pictures then on the computer, so I've got a backup of those images. I've got it adds to my library of pictures. But if you want the convenience of just printing straight out of the camera, then that's the way to do it. Printer with a memory card slot can cut the computer out of the equation completely. And that's all we've got time for this week. If there's more you need to know about any of the products or topics we talked about today, you can find that story at our website, techguide.com.au. And we'd also love to hear from you, and you can get in touch with us by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. Another way you can get your question to us is through the Tech Guide forum. It's the right-hand side of the menu bar. Click on forum, choose your category, leave your question, and either myself or one of our many readers will help answer your question, and it could be read out right here on the Tech Guide podcast. Another thing, be sure to enter our new competition. We're giving away a 500 gigabyte PlayStation 3 console just in time for Christmas. The link is in the top right-hand corner of the page. Get your entry in. You have to be in it to win it. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again next week.